Track 1. Welcome to the Home Study Course, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Supervision, Volume 2, Enhancing Supervisees' Clinical Skills. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Jared Baxter. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with enhancing supervisees' clinical skills. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content, either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable. Thus, we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as the reflective approach, teaching perspectives in multicultural counseling, teaching self-appraisal, the contracting process, and training supervisees in suicide risk procedures. So let's get started. On the rest of this track, we will discuss the three main reasons to train clinical supervisees in the use of supervision. In addition, we will also discuss the special skills, knowledges, and attitudes a clinical supervisee should acquire when entering a supervisee-supervisor relationship. As you are well aware, there is still a lack of research into supervision in a clinical setting. What research there is emphasizes the importance of educating clinical supervisees on the supervision process. One study by Byrne revealed that out of 33 trainee counselors, 49% had received no formal training for the supervision process. Another study by Kaberi, focusing on abuse in clinical supervision, concluded that the best way to avoid abuse in clinical supervision is for the supervisees to be prepared so that he or she knows what to expect in the process and can be assertive if receiving poor supervision. In my experience, there are three main reasons to train clinical supervisees in the use of supervision. The three reasons are that training in supervision is empowering for the supervisee, and training in supervision helps to create a clearly contracted working alliance in which the clinical supervisee feels safe to expose his or her work and fully disclose, for example, a history of personal issues or prejudices that may be affecting his or her effectiveness as a counselor. The third reason, as you know, is that the supervision alliance is a facilitative relationship which requires active participation by both parties. Among the many skills to be learned, I focus on six key skills. The first of these is for the supervisee to develop awareness of his or her internal processes, such as bodily sensations and emotions, and be able to accurately describe them to his or her supervisor. At the end of this track, I will provide you with a specific technique I use with supervisees. As you know, a second connecting skill that is vital for the supervisee is the ability to develop awareness of the moment-to-moment interaction between him or herself and the client, and to be able to articulate this to the supervisor. In addition to awareness of internal processes and awareness of moment-to-moment interaction with a client, the third skill I teach in training is the ability to present work economically. By economically, I mean using well-chosen words and metaphors. In addition to developing awareness of internal processes and client interaction and presenting work economically, the fourth of these skills is a discussion as to how the supervisee will present his or her work. For example, will the clinical supervisee present his or her work in a face-to-face informal chat after each meeting with a client, or a weekly one-hour face-to-face meeting, or an audio-taped summary? As you may be aware, several state licensure regulations regulate the format and length of the meetings required. If you are not sure if your state regulates the format and length of the meetings between a supervisor and supervisee, check the internet. Do you agree that teaching this skill helps supervisors and supervisees find methods that suit the developmental needs and learning style of the supervisee most effectively? Fifth, I find it important to educate clinical supervisees in the process of feedback. Regarding feedback, we discuss both how to be open to it and how to be prepared to monitor his or her practice according to this feedback. Finally, in addition to developing awareness of internal processes and client interaction, presenting work economically, negotiating presentation styles and schedules, and accepting feedback, I find that the sixth important skill I convey for supervisees is how to monitor and review his or her use of supervision, and how to take responsibility for giving feedback to his or her supervisor about the supervision received. I also convey how useful this feedback has been to the supervisee and his or her clients. I initially spend much time with my supervisee talking about internal awareness. Do you agree that probably one of the most difficult skills for clinical supervisees to learn seems to be their ability to use internal awareness in their interactions with their clients and perhaps also their supervisor? I have found clinical supervisees also find it challenging to communicate their internal awareness appropriately. One of the best ways of training regarding interpersonal process recall I have found is to use the following 7-point assessment following a client session. 1. What were you feeling? Where in your body was the feeling? 2. What did you imagine your client was feeling or thinking? 3. Were you aware of wanting to do something? 4. Did you have any plans where you wanted the session to go? 5. Did you feel that the client had any expectations of you at this point? 6. Were you aware of projecting an image? What kind? Is this image what you wanted and not what the client wanted? 7. Did your client remind you of anyone else in your life? What effect did this have on you? Would using this 7-point interpersonal process recall technique be useful in your next session with your clinical supervisee? Would it be beneficial to play this track for your supervisee to ask them to write a few words in response to each of these 7 points following a session with a client? On this track, we have discussed the three main reasons to train supervisees in the use of supervision. These are: training is empowering, the formation of a clear working alliance, and creating a facilitative relationship. In addition, we have discussed the special skills, knowledges, and attitudes a supervisee should acquire when entering a supervisee-supervisor relationship. These include awareness of moment-to-moment interactions and the ability to present work economically. On the next track, we will discuss the contracting process and the five main benefits provided by contracting. These are: both parties become actively involved in the supervision process, a contract provides a clear perception of goals, the supervisor and supervisee create a clear picture of what their work looks like together, contracting creates mutuality and guards against the abuse of power, and finally, contracts minimize covert agendas. Question 1. What are the three main reasons to train supervisees in the process of supervision?